Hello, everybody. This is Mark the Prepper Guy. I want to talk a little bit about some of the friends I had on Facebook that have been dropping like flies, mainly because of differences of opinion in regarding this presidential election. I think we need to be having a discussion about these things and not a hissy fit. So we'll talk about that in just a second.
Hump day, yeah!
Hi, my name is Mark. I'm the Prepper Guy, and this is a Prepper Guy podcast. In a world that's always changing and full of fear and confusion, and especially when it comes to prepping, I am a minimalist, and I like to be ready for anything that life may throw at us, whether it's bad, the end of the world, or just a flat tire on a deserted road.
Well, we always hear about this great debate we're supposed to have in America about this, that, and the other thing, but I never see it materialize, do you? I mean, I've heard that we should have a debate about gun control, and we should have a debate about the Supreme Court, and we should have a debate about this, that, and the other thing. And I don't really know what that means, because I've never seen us have any debates except some of the dog and pony shows that they call presidential debates, which are really not debates. They're kind of just like a forum where people call each other names, because a debate usually has rules and there's points and counterpoints. I guess they're debates, but I don't know. I mean, they seem to be kind of staged. So I was having some discussions on Facebook with one of my friends, and I respect the man, and we've chatted back and forth about issues and some of the things that went on in Oregon. And he had some points, being part of the 3%ers that I actually liked, and I was very cordial and said, you know, your points hold water more than mine, and I'll give it some thought. But when we started talking about this presidential election coming up, and the person he supports is definitely different than mine, and I made a comment that I really like Rand Paul, and I've always been a Paul supporter, Ron Paul and Rand Paul. And since that wasn't going to happen in the nomination process, that I think I was going to just go and vote for Donald Trump. And he asked me why, and he said, that's kind of liberal. Are you a liberal? Well, I could have took that offensively, because I'm not a liberal, unless you go back to what Thomas Jefferson considered himself, a true libertarian or liberal. The word has changed a lot, and in today's lexicon, liberal would be kind of an offensive remark to someone that is a constitutional conservative, such as myself. But I didn't take it that way. I just understood what he was saying, that, you know, that would sound like a liberal remark coming from somebody that's diametrically opposed to their candidate. And so I just considered it as banter. So I kind of explained to him my feelings on why I have made that shift in my thought process. And then I was scrolling. I have a small tablet-type computer when I'm sitting watching TV and the news and letting life wash over me at the end of the day. And so I had seen a post about why something, and it had to do with Trump calling Bush out on 9/11. And I didn't see who the comment was from, because my screen real estate isn't that large. And I just made my typical comment on it, that people have a right to call someone else out, the same as, you know, even a preacher would, you know, look at his congregation and say that there are sinners or people that have been doing things wrong that he may know of, he may have inside information on. And I think Trump can call out George Bush the same as anybody, any one of us. And so I made a quick kind of snide remark, and all of a sudden this person was just off the air. I mean, I don't know if I was blocked or just unfriended or whatever. And maybe because this person is a more spiritual type person and very Christian, that he took offense that I had drawn a conclusion to church and religion from a political issue. But that wasn't my point. My point was just to say, hey, you know, Trump as a politician has the right to call out someone, and maybe that Trump has different beliefs on what happened and how Bush might have been a little responsible for 9/11. Not to say that Clinton and any other administration wasn't also maybe responsible for Osama bin Laden running loose and rampant. But I don't know. It was maybe a leap, but I didn't think it was offensive. So that's really not the point, because I can care less about Trump and Bush and their little ongoing feud. What concerns me in America is we need to have a conversation. Now, like I said, this one person, I respect him. I respect his opinion. He's a prepper. I like his videos. I like his view on things. And to get upset and just to drop off the map, basically to kick me to the curb because of something I said, instead of having that conversation, was kind of weird. And I experienced that in life because I'm quite political. And someone the other day made a comment about our burn pile, because we have property. And so we gather up all the bushes that we cut and stuff. And once a year, we just have a big bonfire and we have to get a permit. And the person was saying, well, you might not be able to get one if the EPA sticks around and starts bitching about smoke or whatever. And I just said, well, the city shouldn't follow what the EPA says, because, you know, we're sovereign, like every city and every state. And I got the rolling of the eyes from other people, and just kind of like, well, you know, you need to drop it. You know, you're an extremist, whatever those looks were all about. And so I see it, you know, in today's world, that maybe we're afraid to discuss issues that are important because, well, I don't know why, because I don't understand. And so how do we remain civilized in a civil society such as America, and yet still have passion and concern for our country? I would imagine there's an easy way to do this, but I haven't been able to get my head around it. When we have a discussion about our president, let's take that road, and who will be the next president, there are a myriad of issues with each of the candidates. And so my reason for maybe switching from Paul, who's now out of the race, to someone like Trump, may be founded on a lot of common sense or crazy harebrained ideas. But if another person is going to get offended and not explain to me and avoid calling me or labeling me liberal or whatever the labels are, and just have a conversation, then I don't think we're going to get to the bottom of things. I mean, I have my reasons, and they're extremely well thought out in my mind about why I'm going for Trump. And this person has their reasons why they're for Cruz. And if we can have a discussion without offensiveness and without breaking down and throwing a temper tantrum, then his opinion might pull me a little bit more in line with the goal. And my opinion might pull him a little bit. But we're both heading toward a direction. And as long as that direction is maybe constitution, maybe more freedom and liberty, whatever is on the horizon that we're aiming for, if one of the two parties starts to move a little off course, then maybe someone can pull them a little bit back on course. It doesn't have to be a major course correction, but it should be a little course correction. And so I think that's why it's important. And I'm having a hard time kind of, I don't know, getting this into words, because it's based on a lot of feelings. But as a people, if we have a goal in mind And there's a lot of people heading that direction with hundreds of thousands of different viewpoints and reasons why they're heading there. And we're going to argue about a person, one individual's motivation for going that direction. Then it distracts from the overall objective. So his comments, whatever they might have been, I don't know, might have helped pull me in that direction back on course. Maybe not at 100% on course, but we have a long distance to travel, and any small course correction will help be on target. Just like with, you know, shooting rifles at a rifle range, you take into consideration wind and drift and drop. Well, if you're doing things to work that out by talking to someone and saying, hey, have you looked at it this way? Have you thought of it that way? Then it might help reduce the drift, the windage, all of that. So maybe that's oversimplified, but that's kind of what I try to do. I know my opinions on why I'm going for Trump may be totally asinine and harebrained to this person, but maybe some of the reasons, maybe some of the thoughts or concerns I have with the other candidates might actually hold water. And it might not change his opinion, but it may help change his game plan. Because my problem with Rubio and Cruz are not the two candidates as people, because all people, all humans have issues. My problem is with a strategic way of looking at it, because Rubio and Cruz have an issue with being natural born. And don't take this wrong and come up with a quick response here. I don't care if they were both born here in America. I don't think it's an issue. It's definitely something that could be figured out, and it might be nothing. But if you're walking along the trail heading toward a destination and someone says snake, you might want to look at it and make sure if it's venomous or not, if it's retreating or attacking. And you shouldn't get mad at the person for going, hey, snake, just because you might have overreacted and jumped sideways. It was just a cautionary point. And so I think it's a help to understand that the media, being all left-wing, basically being the cheerleaders for the Democrat Party, any issue they can find, they will find and run with it. This issue of birth is not even something they would have to dig up. So once the nomination process is over, and let's say that Cruz is the nominee, then the media will start attacking that when it becomes a critical point in the game. So if they start getting a lot of momentum and Cruz looks like he's going to win the presidency, you have to understand that the media will be using that issue. And they're not trying to convince everyone in America that Cruz was or was not born in America. It's just that small percentage point that keeps you from going over the top and winning. So my issue with Cruz and Rubio isn't a character flaw, because nobody picks where they're born, they're just born. It's an issue of strategy and looking at the game to win. So I bring these points out to people and go, if this is an issue, right or wrong, don't you think it would be best to start handling this now? Because we know why the Democrats aren't using it yet. Because why throw your card on the table at this point in time? Wait until there's a nominee. So these issues from the Republican side have to be asked and answered and dealt with soundly before that nominee. And I don't see that happening. So therefore, we're going to get a nominee that may have injuries, and when we put them into the game, the big game, they will be torn down and lose, maybe not even by a large margin. But it doesn't take much to slow the momentum. And so that's my issue with it. So wouldn't that be a fair point to bring up to somebody to maybe pull them a little bit back on course? Not saying change their mind. Just go, hey, we need to deal with this. Now, not everybody we talk to every day are in the campaign to where they make those decisions. But I think they need to be aware that those decisions need to be made. Get a hold of the people if you're such a supporter and start asking questions. Go, why isn't this issue being addressed now before it's too late? So that was my point with my friend. I hope we're still friends. Was not to belittle his point of view or not to overly defend my point of view. I wasn't even answering the question whether I was a liberal or not, because that doesn't justify an answer. I'm not. So I think I could have had the same justified reaction to him calling me a liberal as me saying something that was religious in nature. And I didn't even know that was his post, because it could have looked like I was ganging up then. You know, we were talking about one post, and now here's another one that I decided to tromp on too. And that could seem aggressive, but it wasn't meant that way. It was just a typical response to a post I see on Facebook. Had I known it was his, I probably would have exercised a little more better judgment. So I think that's part of how we should approach these things in life. You know, try to be cautious. Try not to be rude and overbearing. Try not to put labels and things on there, because I hate when somebody on the news, one of the pundits, is making an excellent point, and then he says something about liberals or the Democrats, and he labels it and puts it in a box, and that all of a sudden drags the whole conversation off point. So I try not to put labels on too many things and try not to change the topic. If we're talking about birthright, citizenship, and presidents, then I want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about, oh, those Democrats this, oh, those liberals that, oh, the Republicans this, oh, the conservatives that. I really don't give a damn. I just want to talk about our game plan and what we should be doing to stay on point. So I'm going to take a little break and try to gather my thoughts on this, because as stupid as it may sound, I don't know this person personally, but I had a great deal of respect for him, and I don't know if I should apologize to him for offending maybe a religious context, or I don't know if he just threw a fit and said, to hell with this guy. So it kind of bothers me on a level. If we were personal friends hanging out together in the same town or church or building, I would definitely approach him and say, hey, I'm sorry, what's up? Are we good? But in Facebook, we don't get that option sometimes. But he was still someone I valued his opinion, and now that opinion has been removed. And I think that squashes any further debate with somebody that I would have liked to have heard from. So like I said, I'm going to take a break and gather a little bit and get on some form of message. Be right back.
Preppers should always be prepared, and the Prepper Guy can help you find the supplies you need without having to get lost in a big box store or on a website designed to sell you everything else. Our online store offers a focused shopping experience, making it easy to zoom in to find what you need. Because we affiliate with Amazon to deliver our goods around the world, you'll always find the best values too. Find what you need at doomsdaydepot.com. Remember, that's Doomsday with a Z, where you can zoom in to find what you need, and learn more at prepperguy.com too.
Well, okay, I kind of have my thoughts together a little bit. Some of the things I do think that we should be discussing is what the news is telling us is so. For weeks before the South Carolina primary, we were told that the entire state was evangelical, or at least the northern part of the state and all the counties, and they were telling us in the media that Trump was not a evangelical Christian, but Cruz was. And come to find out that Donald Trump won all of the counties except for two, and Rubio won those two, and Cruz did not win any of the counties in South Carolina. Trump even won all the northern counties that Huckabee had won in the last election process, and he was an evangelical. So Trump trounced the competition in South Carolina by overwhelming odds and statistics and votes. So that to me tells me that maybe what the news thinks an evangelical Christian is quite a bit different than the actual people that are evangelicals. And so we get this perception from the news as we watch it every day that this is the way it is. They tell us that Rubio is this, that, and the other thing. Cruz is that and this. And come to find out, the media was wrong. Imagine that. And the voters spoke. So when we're watching the news, we need to remember that it's commentary. It is not news. News tells you the facts. A tree fell in the yard. Commentary will explain to you that it was the wind's fault, maintenance problems, not pruning the tree properly. The news is just a tree fell in the yard on this day in this yard. That's about it. So we were told that, I don't know, Trump hates all Hispanics. Probably not true. Cruz is an evangelical and win all of these counties in South Carolina. Proved to not be true. So that is why I think conversations are so important amongst we the people, because we really don't have much of an outlet to look at in today's world, because most of the media, no matter what side of the fence you're on and watching, they're a commentary and they have their opinion, and you're not getting the facts. So it's far better to talk to your friends and family and people you know about these issues, because you're the one that's voting. You need this information. And some of the information you don't even know. You don't even need to know it. I don't really care what church a candidate goes to. I do care if they have values, because freedom is one thing and liberty is another, and liberty is connected with a value system. I might be free to buy a gun and shoot somebody up, but I will lose my liberty in doing so. And therefore, liberty must have values to guide your freedom. And they're two separate words, and there's better definitions in the book, you know, in the dictionary. But so we're not given information. The information we're given is highly biased, and it's based on commentary. So you need to keep that in your head, and you need to keep an open mind when we discuss things in Facebook and not name call and be silly about it. The Supreme Court nomination for the replacement of Justice Scalia is an important issue. How are we going to look at that as Americans? How are we going to debate it? Really, our outcome of the debate will be irrelevant, because the jackals in Washington are going to do whatever they do. Another sign that we have lost control of our government. But if you really look at it, the Supreme Court is not a political group, and the nomination process should not be political either, because they're looking at a contract, which is the Constitution. It's a contract. So we want someone in there that isn't liberal or conservative. We want someone in there that can read the words of the contract and go, this is how it should be looked at. This law you're giving us, when we base our opinion on it, is unconstitutional and therefore should not be a law. It violates this, this, and this. It doesn't take a Democrat or a Republican to figure that out. It's contract law. So if you have your car repossessed because you didn't make the payments, you're in breach of your contract. And therefore, it doesn't matter if you're surrendering your car to a Democrat or a Republican. You've breached the law, and you want the judge to explain to you how that law was breached. You did this and this, and therefore you breached the contract. You didn't do this and this, therefore you breached the contract. So a Supreme Court justice must be able to fairly look at a law before them and have an opinion based on the contract. The contract law with America, which is the Constitution, which we the people wrote. So the questions, you know, from the Congress to the nominee, whoever that may be, no matter what president nominates this person, should be constitutional in nature, not political. Now you can say, Mark, they're going to rule on these things based on their political beliefs. Well, they might, but that would be improper. Because it doesn't, If you do something wrong in life, it doesn't matter if a man or a woman tells you you're wrong, and they're not bringing their gender to the table. They're just saying what you did was wrong. And a Supreme Court justice should be that person that can look at it and go, this has nothing to do with my party. You wrote a law that is opposed to the Constitution. Your law does not protect the rights of the citizen. In fact, it curtails the rights of the citizen. Therefore, no matter how I feel about it, when I look at the law, the contract, you violated it, and therefore this law cannot stand. It is repugnant and unconstitutional. Our opinion is it is not a constitutional law. And the Supreme Court, as important as we like to think they are one-third of the federal government. There's three branches. They are just one-third. So they don't make law and they don't have rulings. They have opinions because courts, especially the Supreme Court, offers their opinion. The House, mainly the Senate, makes the laws. That law is given to the Supreme Court to look at, and their opinion is, this is a piece of garbage, or this is great. And then the president is given the law, and he either signs it or he vetoes it. So those three things are what make up the decision of that law. It's, we wrote this really cool thing. And then you give it to the Supreme Court, and they look at it, and they go, in our opinion, that's a really cool thing. They give it to the president, and he looks at it and goes, I signed it because it's a really cool thing. Or I vetoed it because it is not in keeping with my belief of the Constitution. This is, you know, it's not that presidents are very political. They're left or right. That's pretty much the way they are. But that is why these vetoes can be overridden. So there's a system and it works a certain way. So therefore, the Supreme Court is not the end-all be-all to freedom and liberty in America. But it needs to be discussed openly amongst us, we the people, in a forum like Facebook or Twitter, without insult and anger. You need to look at people's opinions that they write in Facebook and go, that guy's really goofy, but that's true or that's wrong. So as far as the Supreme Court is concerned, it is important, don't get me wrong, but it is not the most important thing on our plate right now. The President of the United States is not the most important thing on our plate right now. Now, you could say, yes, but if we get a liberal Supreme Court and we have a liberal president, then that's two-thirds of the power structure, and then we've lost our freedom. That's a valid point. But presidents do change. And I think Supreme Court justices should change too. They shouldn't be lifetime appointments. And I don't think it was ever meant to be that way. And if it was, it needs to be changed because we can write an amendment and we can ratify it amongst the states and put limits on them. I think most Supreme Court justices can be impeached because they are part of the three branches of government, and you can impeach a congressman or a senator, you can impeach a president, and you should be able to impeach a Supreme Court justice. But those checks and balances aren't used. So let's go back to the original point that you were saying. Now we have two-thirds of the power structure in America that are liberal. Okay, what does the Constitution say about the power of the president and the federal government? I think it would surprise you to know that it has mostly to do with external issues outside of the United States. Treaties, making friends, playing golf with the leader of some other country, trying to work things out to where we can get along in the big sandbox known as planet Earth. But as far as local, that is not controlled by the federal government. The federal government is in charge of protecting America as a country, the borders around it. That's their primary job. And through their external exercise of their power, they can protect the inside of America. They can control the borders. If there's an issue at the border, they are to step in and take care of that. They are to keep the commerce regular. And what that means is commerce with other countries and commerce within the states. because each state was considered a nation. It was sovereign. That's what it's meant to do. So they wanted to keep it regular, to not regulate it, but to keep it regular so my state can't charge your state more because we don't like you. You won the Super Bowl and we should have. So nanny, nanny, boo, boo. We're going to charge a tariff on all of your products that come from your state, even if they're going through our state, because we just don't like you. See, that would be stupid, childish, and therefore the federal government can step in and go, no, 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 you can't do that because they're over certain things. But other than those things, that's about it. So when the Senate makes laws, these are federal laws that have to do with the federal government doing its job. A state, sovereign, a nation, it's all by its little lonesome there, just like the 13 colonies, each one of them was a nation. They considered themselves nations, just like France might be right next door to Italy, which might be right next door to blah, blah, blah. Each one of them has a border, and they have their own government and their own laws and their own rules, and they are separate. They are a nation. They're a country. The 13 colonies were countries. That's how they looked at themselves. And then when they became states through ratification of the Constitution and they joined through the statehood conventions, they were given equal footing between each other. So they were all the same. But they all have their own constitution. They all have their own legislature. They all have their own judges. They all have their own laws. They all live a certain way based on the culture of that state. So it's still that way. That's why your state has a constitution. Do you think they just did that because they were bored and had extra paper? No, because you're sovereign. This is our constitution. This is how we run the cities and counties in our state, just like the federal government has a constitution, how it runs the 50 nations, countries, states. So the state is sovereign, and it has its own rules, and it does not have to abide by the federal rules. If the federal government says the EPA is going to come in and shut your state down because of some desert tortoise, well, how did the Supreme Court, what was their opinion? Well, they didn't really have an opinion on it because we never took it to court. Oh, okay. So you guys are operating outside the sandbox here, fine. Our state isn't too concerned about the desert tortoise. In fact, there's a lot of them, and they're fine. And we're going to build this and do that. And the tortoise will be fine. We're not going to run it over with trucks and stuff because they did that in Nevada. And then once they seized all this rancher's land for 30 years, it was for the desert tortoise. Once they had control of that land, the state turned around and sold it to all the developers that built casinos and stuff. Do you think they cared about the tortoise? No. So that's why a state is sovereign and can look at these things and go, yeah, I can see the BS you're trying to shovel here. We're not going to buy it. See you later. Now, when that happens, then the federal government wants to send in all their cronies and go, we're going to demand that you do this. Oh, are you now? That is when your sheriff gets involved in your county and goes, yeah, that's great, but get out of here because I am the chief law enforcement officer in this county for the state. There is no one higher than me. I have more authority as far as law enforcement than the FBI, the CIA, Homeland Security, and the President of the United States because I am the elected one in this state that has its own constitution, and our constitution says so. So therefore, take all your pretty little SUVs and your neat little t-shirts with alphabet soup all over it and get out of my county. And don't threaten my people anymore with frivolous lawsuits, or we are going to have a problem. So it happens in every state when the EPA steps in and starts shutting down logging, shutting down coal, shutting down all of, you know, these things that a state wants to do that are not harmful, but some EPA person thinks it's harmful because of the snail darter. Oh my God. So that's when the sheriff should step in and go, hey, rancher, those people in them SUVs, are they giving you a hard time? Yeah, they're threatening to shut down my ranching operation because of some goofy desert tortoise or because they want my land so they can get the uranium under it or whatever. Then the sheriff goes, I'll go have a talk with them boys and I will run them out of the county. That's how it should work. So it's all very simple. And these are the issues we need to be talking about. And we need to talk amongst ourselves about these things in a way to where we can get our head around the importance of a sheriff and your state. Nobody cares about Washington, D.C. They only have two or three things on their plate constitutionally. And if 500 of them or whatever can't figure it out, they all need to be fired. Now, this all happened because of the 17th Amendment, because we used to elect our representatives, that's your congressman for your district, and then they would get together at the state legislator level, and they would choose or elect a senator. So how it works is we all have a discussion. We have our little Facebook chat and our Twitters and all that, and we get together, and then when election time comes up, we pick our representative. That's our congressman for our district, and the boundary lines should be drawn differently. So that representative represents your community best, whether it's farming, ranching, whatever it is, mining, logging. You shouldn't have your boundaries go into some big city just to get more votes by the crazy people that don't even know what a log looks like. So then your representative goes to the state and says, this is what my people, literally my people, all 2,000 or 5,000 of them, are saying. All those representatives in that state get together and they pick somebody to go represent the state at Washington, D.C. So then that senator goes there, or the two senators go there and say, I've talked to my representatives who have talked to their people, and we say no on this bill. We say yes on this bill. I voted no because my people told me no. Doesn't matter what I think, because my opinion doesn't matter. I'm representing the legislative body, the representatives of that state who represent the people. And the people have told them at town hall meetings and everything, no way, Jose. So all I can do is get a consensus from my state and tell you, no way, ain't going to happen. You can't bribe me enough to go against my people. So it's gotten all messed up, and that was, thank you, 17th Amendment. Now, that is an amendment. It was ratified by people that got suckered, and it can be changed. You may not be able to change it, but you can do like they did with Prohibition. They had to write a new amendment to do away with Prohibition, because Prohibition was one of them great ideas by a bunch of do-gooders, so it was ratified. It's actually an amendment. So they had to write a new amendment to say this old amendment was stupid, we were asleep, and therefore this new amendment supersedes that one in the Prohibition. So how all this really works on a level, on a state level, is actually quite ingenious, and the framers of the Constitution were absolute geniuses. Of course, they could read and write in more than one language like we can today. They were homeschooled or self-taught. But if your local district is truly cordoned off for your district, you know, your congressman, then it should truly represent the biggest group of people in that community that are farmers, that are ranchers, that are whatever they are. And then like a city that may be totally liberal and crazy, let's just say, they have one or two representatives for that. And then the other area of the state might be heavy into logging. And if that congressman truly represents just the loggers, his area doesn't overlap into farming or coal or whatever, just that main focus of that area he represents and those people, then it's harder to get appointed as the senator for that part of the state. Because you now have, let's say, 40 people voting, and it makes it more easy. See, because if I want to run for Senate, all I have to do in my state is convince Tucson and Phoenix that I'm the greatest guy since sliced bread, and I'm going to give you all this free stuff. And don't worry, I'll bring home the bacon. Oh, see, what about the other people in the county? Well, nobody cares. They're not that many of them. See, I got the concentration in Phoenix, so therefore I win. But if you have your representatives and there's only 50, 60, even 200 representatives for the whole area and all the counties, then how does that work out? Oh, well, now I don't have to just convince Phoenix that I'm the greatest guy since sliced bread because they only have 3 or 4 votes. I now need to convince all these other counties that I am the sliced bread candidate. So you actually have more representation and your vote counts more than if it's just one person, one vote in a giant pot. Do you see how easy that, how great that was, how easy it works? Because let's say a state has 50 districts. I now have to be the senator, I have to convince at least a majority of those 50 to pick me. Whereas the way it is now, where popular vote picks the senator, all I have to do is go kiss butt to Phoenix and Tucson, and I've got the popular vote. So you, in the outlying areas of whatever state you live in, have no vote when it comes to the senator. That's why it was set up that the senators were picked by your representatives, because they were your representative. So these are things that are important, don't you think? Or am I just talking out of my behind here? I'm trying to simplify it because I'm sick of legalese and all of this smoke that they blow at us all the time. When you read the Constitution, it is the simplest thing. Once you get past the 300 or 400 words in there that are complicated, but it's only 300 or 400 words. We can look them up, and once we understand how they're used, we can read the Constitution and go, oh my God, that's so simple. It's like reading the Bible. You, at first, you're like, thee, thou art, and all these funny things and these weird names and these strange areas. What is it talking about? The more familiar you become with that type of language, no matter if it's the Bible or a science fiction novel, once you become familiar with the verbiage, when you read it, you go, oh, wow, this is the simplest thing since cornflakes. Oh, my God. How easy is this? And so it doesn't need to be all of this legalese mumbo jumbo. But we, the American people, are duty bound to understand it. Once we understand the Constitution and get back to its simplicity, all of the problems that we read about in Facebook will really go away, because all these posts and these memes on the EPA don't matter, because they're now non-issues, because it doesn't work that way anymore in the real world, if we create that real world the way it was created 200 years ago. But it requires some action on our part. It requires us to learn, to read and read, and to get an understanding of what the sentence meant. So that's my kind of take on those issues. You know, we got the Supreme Court and the presidency and all these things. I want people to be able to understand where I'm coming from, because you should want people to understand where you're coming from. And if me and you are having a conversation, I don't want you to offend me, and I don't want to offend you. I want to get as much out of the fruit in your head to help me make a better decision, and you should feel the same way. So a quick little story down my crazy train route. I have a client, and he and I can talk for hours. When I go to measure his house, it takes hours. And he is a Democrat, and I am a Republican. But he is a, how did he put it? He's a New Jersey Democrat. He goes, I was born into a Democrat household. My mother, my father, my uncles, my grandfather that lived in the home were all Democrat. He goes, you didn't even mention the word Republican without getting put in your room or smacked. Me and him can talk for hours about politics. And quite frankly, I have a great time, and so does he. And one time, the last time we had about an hour discussion, he told me, he goes, you know, you're the only Republican I can talk to, and not get upset or have them get upset at me. So, you know, he tells me, I can talk to you and you listen and you talk to me and I listen. And we were both kind of shocked about it because it's like, well, how does that work? And I told him, I said, you know, I don't mind talking religion or politics, which are the two deadly sins, I guess, to anybody, as long as they don't try to open my mouth and shove their crap down my throat. And he goes, exactly. He goes, I will say things to people and they immediately think that I'm trying to change their whole genome by just what I'm saying. And I go, no, I like that, because I say, you said a lot of things that are very important. And I need to know that. I need to factor that in. And he goes, yeah, I like talking to you, because he goes, I didn't know that Republicans feel that way about these issues, just kind of like we do. We just have a different way of wanting to fix the problems. So it was pretty cool, because two grown-ups with different diametrically opposed belief systems can actually learn from one another. And I told him, I said, you know, I honestly don't think that Democrats want to destroy America and set it on fire. And he said, no, we don't. We just want to fix the problems a different way than you do. And if we can discuss the way in which maybe we will fix an agreed upon problem, because we're far better off than just me calling you stupid and you calling me stupid. So we need to get that way with all of our friends. And we don't need to unfriend them or block them or go off in a hissy fit, because this is important. This is the fate of our nation. Now, I'm not saying that everything is hanging in the balance at this election, because I've heard that since the 70s when I started voting. It's the same as prepping. I've heard that the world was ending for 40 years and I'm still here. Well, so are politics. This election isn't the end-all be-all collapse of America if we don't put in a Republican or we don't get in a Democrat. The important elections are your local ones. You get a good sheriff, a good county commissioner, and you back them, and you start making changes on a local level to get control of your town, to get freedom in your life, so you, at home, wherever that is, can have a chicken in your yard. Now you've made a change. The federal government is really limited to a 10-mile square called Washington, D.C. So I don't know why people think that it has spilled over into all the states. We have let it get in our state by tromping through the mud and bringing it in, but it does not affect us as much as what we do locally. I can't say it any plainer than that. It's the most important election of your life. When you elect a sheriff and you vet that sheriff and he stands for you and not the federal boys that might march in and want to take away your property because you had a chicken. And it's happened. It's happened so many times in America where people have lost their home. There's a man on Facebook right now, I don't know who he is or where he's from yet, that is looking at a prison sentence for collecting rainwater off of his own roof. Now, do you think the sheriff actually is the one that arrested him and wants to put him in prison? No, it was the EPA. The question is, how did the EPA get into that town to arrest this man while the sheriff stood idly by and went, wait a minute, who are you people? You're going to arrest him for what? Rainwater? Are you drunk or mixing your meds? Get out of here. So it spills in. But you need an immune system around your home and your town called a sheriff. And the sheriff, if he gets involved, will talk to the local police, like in Ferguson. There's a big hoopla over that. We've all seen it. The sheriff is the one that's the chief law enforcement officer in that county. He goes to the chief of police and says, your guys blew it. If I see that again, I'm arresting your guys, because this is just your job and you get a paycheck and you are hired, literally hired, not elected, hired by the mayor. And those checks you're writing come out of my account called authority. So if I see your guys doing that again, I'm going to arrest your entire department until we figure this out. Stop killing these people. Stop standing down. Stop following orders, whatever it may be. But there's an issue, and the sheriff is the one that should be stepping in, not some dopey investigation by a bunch of do-gooders from Washington, D.C. The sheriff knows those people. Go fix your problem. So the sheriff could march right into Ferguson, arrest the chief of police if he was at fault, whoever it is. He can arrest the district attorney for running false charges. He can do whatever he wants, and then they'll figure it out later. But if he takes action, the bullshit stops. And if he sets back and doesn't do nothing because he's just shirked his responsibility, then all of a sudden you have a vacuum. And then the power from Washington steps in and goes, we'll take care of this. This is important. We're going to call in Al Sharpton to stir it up. So we feel really important fixing it. Well, okay, that's where we're at. So in these groups like Black Lives Matter, you know, I totally concur. Black lives do matter. Everyone lives matter. And you know who it should matter the most to? Your sheriff. Don't go in there and protest his office. Go in and have a conversation with him and go, hey, Sheriff, I've been on CSPOA or whatever their website is, you know, Constitutional Sheriff's Police Officers Association.org, and they tell me that this is your problem. What are we, us and our 20,000 members standing right outside your office, going to do about this? And the sheriff can sit there and go, well, you know, it's not my job. And then you politely go, I beg to differ with you, but yes, it is. Because you were elected, and here's your oath of office. And this is what all these other sheriffs are saying. We need you to fix this problem with the police department. What is he going to do? Go, no, I don't care. No. Because when you have an organization as big as Black Lives Matter, you can get him unelected pretty damn quick. And he knows that. So you have more clout in the office that matters most than going to Washington, D.C. and starting some movement that no one in Washington, D.C. can even hear because they're deaf, dumb, and blind. Go to your local sheriff in your county. Get all of your groups. Let's just keep talking about Black Lives Matter. Get all of your charters or whatever they are, chapters now, all across the state and the country, and rally at the sheriff's office and let him know we are watching you. All of our eyes are on you to fix this, because come to find out, this is in your wheelhouse, John Doe. Get your act together or we will actively get you thrown out of office. And if there's other things we can do faster, we will do it. And trust me, when any elected official sees that big of a movement telling them to do their job, all of a sudden, they become quite active at doing their job. So there's a right way and a wrong way. And every time you go to Washington, you are one little tiny itty bitty microscopical nobody to them. Because Washington, D.C., is way over there, and they're very big, and they don't give a shit. But you come to your state, and then you step up into your county, and you walk into your sheriff's office, where it's just you and him and 50,000 of your followers, and you go, I have a problem with this planning and zoning regulation that is oppressing my liberty and freedom and property rights. What are you going to do about it? And he might try to walk out the door and go, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. But when he walks out of that room and he sees 10,000 people or even 500 looking at him with signs saying, do your damn job, Sheriff. What's your name? He's going to walk right back in that office and want to have a conversation. And if you get the media on your side, because we're not talking about Fox, MSNBC, all that. We're talking about local Billy Bob radio. And he starts sounding out in that community, you have made a change. Now, I'm not saying use this to get every dopey, stupid, free social program shoved down the American people's throat. But if you know what a sheriff can do and you're being stepped on, he's the guy to go to. So I hope this has helped you. Shout out to all my past friends on Facebook. Sorry if I offended you, but this is America and we have issues and we need to discuss it like grown-ups. So if I offended you by my words, then I am sorry, but I'm talking about words that maybe hurt your ears, like a cuss word or bringing up religious things or something like that that might have offended you. But if my words and my opinion on who you like and who I don't like offended you, we need to move past it and we need to continue the conversation. Because if we don't, America is dead. It is deader than the dodo if we don't all step up and realize that we have a duty. We are honor and duty bound to protect our country, to be ever vigilant, to pull all the weeds in Washington, D.C. and get this straightened out. Otherwise, it does not matter who is elected president, because America is already dead at the soul. So step up, get involved, have conversations, have tough skin, and let's get this taken care of. Everyone have a great day and enjoy the apocalypse.